Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to shout out to all of my Iranian friends, Happy Nowruz. It is the official first day of spring for us here in the United States, but just a few hours earlier, on Wednesday, March 20th, in the wee late hours in Iran time, it was officially Nowruz for my dear Iranian friends. This is a very special time of year with great festivities to mark the beginning of a new year. Hope and freedom is on the minds of so many of my Iranian friends. And I want to teach us a little bit today. I want to take us on a cultural lesson for those of us who are not Iranian and to learn a little bit about the celebration of the Persian New Year of Nowruz. And we're going to do that this morning on the program. But first, I have a very special minute with my dear Iranian friend Manoush, who is the co-author of our new book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. She has a few words of greeting to say to our Iranian friends on the new year. And we're going to get this to work. Here it is.
Hello, my name is Manoush. I am one of the writers of the book, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran. Our book is giving hope to the Iranian people. Actually, my dear friend Randy Noble and I decided to write this special book because both had the same idea. Our book is about human rights in Iran and concerns social, political, religious, and artist separation. In fact, we want to be the voice, a strong voice, for all Iranians to find hope and freedom. Now we are approaching Nowruz. I congratulate and sympathize with all political and ideological prisoners who separate from their family in this Nowruz, like Atena, Golrokh, Nargis, Nazanin, Nasrin, Zainab, and others. As well, some people, because of the bad economic condition, unfortunately, they can't hold the Nowruz celebration with their family. Hope the day when all Iranians celebrate Nowruz in our country, Iran. Eid Nowruz Mubarak.
That is my dear friend Manoush, and giving us a little Nowruz celebration, and giving us a little greeting, and talking about the subject this morning that I want to focus in on, and that is the distance between those political prisoners and their families that cannot be together this Nowruz to celebrate and to ring in the new year. And we're going to talk at length about them this morning. But the first thing I want us to do is to understand a few things about the Persian New Year. The Persian New Year is a very special time. Think of it like this. In America, the New Year's Eve celebration, how many parties all over the United States are not going on at the stroke of midnight and everyone is toasting each other and celebrating and partying? Well, it's like that, especially for my Iranian friends. Nowruz is not just for Persians. It's for many cultures. But we're going to talk about my Iranian friends this morning because they are the focus of my radio broadcast. But first, since we're going to take a little bit of a cultural trip here, an education, I want us to learn about Nowruz, a little bit about it, and I'll come back and explain some more.
Welcome to a traditional Nowruz celebration. Wait, what is Nowruz, you may ask? Well, it literally translates to New Day, and it's the Persian New Year. It celebrates the beginning of spring. But Nowruz isn't just a special celebration for Iranians like me.
From Afghanistan and Azerbaijan, all the way to Central Asia and Northern India, it is thought that nearly 190 million people celebrate Nowruz. And although it's often believed to have Zoroastrian origins, it's a holiday for some branches of Islam too. However, for many of us, it is now a secular holiday. Celebrations begin at the exact moment of the spring equinox when the sun passes above the equator. It's the point that night and day are the same length. This usually happens on the 21st of March, and it marks the first day of the Persian calendar.
And it's this, the Nowruz table, that is the center of many celebrations. In Iran, we call it Haftsin or Seven S's. And seven in Iran is a lucky number. Although other cultures may do it differently, we put seven symbolic items on it, starting with S.
Sabze, made with wheat or lentils, and it represents rebirth. Samanu is a dish that gives common wheat a new life as a sweet, creamy pudding. In Central Asia, they call it sumalak, and it's often considered as the most important item on the Haftsin table. Sib means apple, and it represents health and beauty. Senjed, the sweet and dry fruit of lotus tree, represents love. Sir, which translates to garlic in Persian, represents medicine or good health. Somag, a Persian spice, representing sunrise and light overcoming darkness. And finally, serke, which translates to vinegar, and it represents age and patience.
But getting all this together takes weeks of preparation. First, we start with khune tekuni, which literally translates to shaking of the house, a spring clean. And then we go and buy new clothes to wear at the Haftsin table, so we can look our best for Nowruz. Then we start painting eggs, which represents fertility. This is also a common tradition in parts of Afghanistan and Azerbaijan.
There are many other special traditions attached to Nowruz, most famously the Chaharshanbe Suri, festival which involves jumping over bonfires on the last Wednesday before Nowruz.
So now we have the Haftsin here, but we can't start the celebration until our friends and families get here so we can really celebrate Nowruz, the Persian New Year. Nowruzetun Mubarak.
Well, there you have it, a little bit of history. As a Christian author, I have written about Nowruz in my books. One of my books is entitled The Rose of Nowruz, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran? No, Dreams of Hope and Freedom was the subtitle for that particular book, The Rose of Nowruz. It was the story of a young concert violinist named Bahara who became a freedom fighter for her Iranian friends in Tehran. And it focused on the celebration of the Persian New Year. And then it had a story of a play that Bahara played the violin in. It was a play talking about freedom for Iranians. And it's a very powerful story. So I've written about this celebration. And I want to take us to an aspect of the celebration that happened just about a day or so ago. It's about the Fire Festival. It's known in the word in Farsi, Chahar Shanbeh Suri. I probably didn't pronounce that right, but it's held on the last Tuesday night before the Persian New Year, which is always the spring equinox. It means Wednesday in Farsi, that is Char Shahanjbeh. And what happens is it's a red end celebration. On the last Tuesday of the Persian calendar, the Festival of Fire takes place, and bonfires sprout up in public places, in alleys, in front of homes, and sometimes even in parks. In this red celebration, people go out and make bushfires and keep them burning till the next morning. And why did they do that? Well, this is symbolic of burning all that was bad, burning all that is bad, pain, unhappiness, sickness, and worry, and looking forward to a new beginning. Now, people jump over these burning cinders. I have pictures of this. It's quite remarkable. And they shout, "Oh, Sharshanbe, Suri, give me your red color." The red face color is the symbol of healthiness. And take back Sikli Palar, which is a purification ritual. Now, it's the symbol of good health, cultivation, light, and purity to the Iranians. And during this fire festival, jumping over these bonfires, it is believed that the ritual guarantees the person the dissipation of all their misfortunes and evils, and of course, prosperity, the materialization of people's hopes and desires for the next year. A couple of years ago, I did a little bit of a Bible study on this, because when Iranians are jumping over this fire, it's symbolic of the light overcoming darkness. And of course, in Scripture, in the Bible, Jesus is called the light of the world. And I thought it was symbolic, even though that's not what Iranians necessarily believe, but the idea of going from darkness to light, when anyone trusts in the Lord for forgiveness of his or her sins, they're actually going from darkness into light. And another theme that comes out of this whole celebration is the idea of new beginnings. Well, the Bible talks about new beginnings. When someone is born again, that is, they trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, there is a spiritual rebirth that takes place. All of those sins are forgiven, and the person is started a brand new life, like a butterfly metamorphosis coming out of a cocoon. It is the new beginning, being born again. And so I thought that with the festival, the Sharshanbeh, the Suri, and the Persian New Year, they have those themes which the Bible talks about. And I thought it was very interesting. I want to take a few moments to read from an article by the Center for Human Rights in Iran. And it's entitled, A Message of Hope to Mark Nowruz, the Persian New Year. And the author writes, spring is in the air, and for millions of people around the world, including Iran, it marks the beginning of a new year. The ancient festival of Nowruz, literally New Day, is celebrated at the end of winter with festivities symbolizing rebirth, renewal, and the possibilities of new beginnings. Many Iranians will ring in the new year with family get-togethers, delicious food, and picnics. But for Iran's political prisoners, this time of year is particularly painful. Separated from their loved ones and serving long jail terms for simply peaceful actions, Nowruz, which is marked in Iran with flowers and sweets, can be so bitter. for these political prisoners. Iran's judiciary and security forces believe jail cells can silence these individuals, but we won't let them. The following are excerpts of some of their letters we've translated over the years. My children have grown up. They have changed. They only talk about their father. Their mother has no place in their daily lives. I'm not even in their dreams. I have ceased to exist for them. This was written by Narges Mohammadi, who is now serving a 16-year sentence, of which she must serve 10. This was a letter she wrote to her children. Another letter. My beautiful daughter grew up walking along prison walls and going through metal gates and looking through the thick glass and meeting halls. I mark her growth on the wall next to the visiting booth. My daughter learned what prison is all about from a year of her early age. That was written by Miriam Akbari Monaford, who is serving a 15-year sentence. My love, think about a tomorrow when everyone will have a share of happiness. How small this prison is compared to our attainable dream of happiness and freedom. This is written by Arash Sataji, a letter to his wife, Gorak. Our Gisu has grown taller. She understands now very well that her father and mother are not together. The most painful part of this whole affair is that neither of us have witnessed our daughter growing up. This is written by Nazanin Zachary Ratcliffe, who is serving a 5-year sentence in Evan Prison, a letter to her husband. And then finally, how could I witness the execution of juveniles in my country and be silent? How could I close my eyes to child abuse cases, to be able to accompany you to school on the start of the new academic year along with your father? I just couldn't, my son. That was my sin. This is written by Nazreen Satuda, who is serving a 38-year sentence, of which she must serve at least 12, a letter to her children. These courageous women and men are in prison for defending human rights, and we will never stop advocating for their freedom. And this is written from the Center for Human Rights in Iran, and I wanted to echo my thoughts that this Nowruz, we are thinking of these political prisoners who are suffering a painful distance from their loved ones and family on this Nowruz. About 5 years ago, I wrote a book entitled The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. It is the story of my friends, some of them refugees, some of them that live in Iran, their stories, their struggles for freedom. And in one of the chapters, I had a chapter dedicated to Nowruz. Happy Nowruz to my Iranian friends. And there's a quote there for them that I want to read again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to kiss the sky. I want to soar. In this story, describing Nowruz to the reader, I had a prayer that I want to share with you. If you're listening, and as one of my Iranian friends, this prayer is for you. My dear friends in Iran, I pray that your new year is filled with peace, prosperity, and freedom. As you gather together with your families this year and sit around your half-seen tables, please don't forget that I am thinking of you and praying for you. I am praying that God will give you the desires of your hearts and that your dreams and visions for the future will one day be finally realized. I am praying that one day you will have a free Iran where you can walk down the streets without fear of being monitored, without fear of being stopped because of the way that you dress. I am praying for the day that you can believe as you choose, that you can speak your mind without fear of imprisonment. I am praying for the day that you will have freedom, true freedom. I believe that day is coming very soon, my dear Iranian friends. I know that God hears the cries of your hearts. Your lives are precious to him. He will deliver you from all fear and oppression. And I wanted to leave you with some Bible promises to realize this day of freedom, this day of hope. The Bible says, in Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14, he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, there is a promise for those who have trusted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it describes this day of freedom that I've talked to you about, that I'm praying for you about. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's throne is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." The God that I serve is a God of hope, a God of love, and a God of compassion. He is a God that is intimately concerned with every single detail of your life. He cares very deeply about your hurt and your pain. He is not a distant deity, so far removed and so detached from this world that he has immediate implementation to our lives. He is not a God so separated by distance that he doesn't care. He is intimately involved and concerned with our lives. And the Bible gives you and me a beautiful promise. Because God is a God that understands suffering. He became a human being. He took on human flesh in Jesus Christ. And Jesus suffered so much hurt and pain. He felt pain when he died on the cross for our sins. The nail prints in his hand and feet. He understands pain and suffering. And so he understands your pain and your suffering. And it says here in Revelation 21 that one day God will wipe every tear from your eyes. When Jesus went to visit his friend Lazarus, knowing he was dead, he understood the pain of Lazarus' loved ones. They gathered around him and said, "Don't you care that your friend is dead?" And Jesus, it says, wept. He wept over the pain and suffering that death brings. And then just a few moments later, he proclaimed himself as the resurrection of life. And then he called forth Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus rose again from the dead after being dead for 3 days. And he demanded that they remove the grave clothes. He raised his best friend from the clutches and pain of death. And one day, the Bible says, he will raise us from the dead and give us a new body. He will give us a new beginning, a new dwelling place with him in eternity. And the Bible promises he will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. And John, the apostle who was writing this vision down, heard God say, look, I am making all things new. And he said to John, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. This is not a book of fairy tales, not a book of positive vibes, of great stories to give you faith and courage. This is a trustworthy word from God, promise of God that can be believed, that is trustworthy and true. God wants you to know that this day is coming soon, that he knows your suffering and your pain. He knows the great pain that you endure living under a dictatorship government. And God understands that pain. He is the God that hears the cries of the oppressed. No cry has gone unnoticed. No tear has been shed that will not be wiped away from our great compassionate God. There has been no evil act that has gone unnoticed and will not be punished, because it will. All injustices will be handled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he returns. He is the just judge of the universe that will bring swiftly justice and freedom to his oppressed people. I do what I do here on the radio program, and what I write in books, I do with the greatest of humility, knowing that the God that I serve is faithful to give me a message to give to you, that one day there will be the biggest, greatest Nowruz celebration that any Iranian has ever experienced. It is a day when the shackles and chains of this dictatorship government will fall. It is the day when God will sit his throne in Elam. It is the day that God will bring to an end the suffering of his people. Just as he sent Moses to speak to the Pharaoh in Egypt to let my people go, and just as he commissioned Moses to stretch his staff across the Nile River and it became blood, and just as he led Moses and the children of Israel to the Red Sea and parted it for them to cross over and then drowned the Egyptians in their chariots, this same God will one day bring liberation, deliverance, and freedom to his people in Iran. One day the dictatorship chains will fall away, and democracy and hope and freedom and salvation will come to the Iranian people. And this is not a fairy tale. This is a sure hope that God will bring freedom. One day, this Nowruz celebration that we are all celebrating right now, one day there will be a celebration beyond your wildest imagination. Our great God and Savior will bring true faith, true hope, and true freedom to all Iranians. I wish you a very, very happy Nowruz. And I pray that this promise of God, one day you will be able to see it with your eyes and you will experience the greatest Nowruz celebration of your life. God bless you, my dear Iranian friends. I will see you next Monday on the cross in the desert. Have a wonderful Nowruz celebration.